generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalline.
Okay, good morning, Coastsiders. Getting right into it. It's Friday, December 12th, 2025. It's time for some windage, and if I'm talking like the guy at the end of an insurance commercial that's getting all the fine print in there, like 45 pages of fine print in 7 seconds, yes, it's because we have a huge show. It's the holiday season, so there's always all sorts of stuff going on, and I'm just pumped, psyched, yippied about our two live interview guests. Let's get here with the topics right now. In case you just dropped in out of outer space, this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show every Friday morning. In fact, I was just doing a little math, which can be scary for me, right? But this is show 343. And if we think about, let's see, for every Friday, there's 52 Fridays in a year. We're almost at, you know, 350 shows. That's about 6 solid years, like literally a show every Friday for 6 years. That's, I mean, I'm just going to like, can we take a bow on that, Frank? Do we have some applause for that? No, really? Wow. Okay. I was asking Frank for his, he used one of his sounds, right? But fortunately, we were rescued by the spectators in our elevated viewing gallery. Thank you. Appreciate that. Little late, but thank you. Oh, dear.
You got him.
I know. I opened that door. All right. Here's today's topics. Stop with the poison. Come on. Already? Really? Stop using poison. And a different idea for more housing, if maybe we'll get to that, maybe not. And our Shooting the Breeze live interview with Johnny Valencia and Yasmin Negrete, coaches for the Cunha Intermediate School cheer team. Oh my goodness, if you haven't seen this cheer team, they're amazing. And I've watched Coach Valencia in action on this, because I also coach a team at Cunha and he's coaching his team. And he is good. And this team is amazing. Can't wait to talk to him and Yasmin. Okay, our air quality report. Let's get right into this. This is the only place you can get this. Right now, right here, Friday mornings. The only place literally in the world, anywhere, any broadcast radio of any kind, right here. Okay, so I'm glad you're tuning in. The scale for air quality is 0 to 50 is incredible. 51 to 100 is pretty good. And over that, we really, it's irrelevant to us here. Because we're never there unless over 100, unless there's a fire. Today, though, not great. Not great. Except in El Granada, where it was 25, which is solidly in the great zone, although we're usually in teens or single digits. 25.
It's great for other people. It's not great for us.
Right, right. Which we hold ourselves to a higher standard.
Yes, yeah. We're overachievers.
In Half Moon Bay, again, I think there's some fires going because it was cold last night. 52 in Half Moon, 70 in Redwood City, 49 in Santa Cruz, and today in Benicia, California, 68. Benicia.
Is that how you pronounce it?
What did you, how do you think?
Benicia. That's how we grew up talking, saying it.
I know, but that's the anglicized version. And I believe it. I want to say it's a Spanish word.
Probably.
Benicia.
It's cuter.
Right. And I apologize for my Spanish pronunciation. I was a brutal Spanish student in high school. Brutal. Okay.
That's why I took sign language.
Oh. No accents there. Don't worry about, right?
Okay. You just get to flail around like a, you know, fun, like you're on stage the whole time.
I would be worried that I, you know, I would be offending people by flashing the wrong sign, right? Did you see that that big ship that was off the coast last week? It was a bit. So when you come out of El Granada and you come down to the Coronado stoplight there, mm-hmm. and you're literally looking right out at Surfers Beach, and it mm-hmm. feels some days it feels like the water is right there. Well, last week there was it turned out to be a U.S. Coast Guard buoy tender, so it has a big crane, and it was doing something with buoys because there's a buoy right out there.
Yeah.
Right. Off of Surfers Beach. And so it was out there fiddle-faddling for a couple of days. And when you come down there in the morning, especially with the light the way it is, it looked like it was just like right there in your lap. And it looked a little, scary is not the word, but like, wow, just out of place. Like mm-hmm. this big kind of military-looking ship sitting out there. Doesn't look like a fishing vessel. It's way too big for just like a pleasure craft. And so it was an anomaly, but I love the perspective that you get coming. So you come down a little hill by the fire station, so you're elevated, and then you're coming down, and the water's just right there. When that buoy tender was there, it was pretty amazing. Okay, moving on. Friend of the show, friend of yours, I know, Andrew Ranger Kielak, the Half Moon Bay resident who walked 2,642 miles across America in 2024, has a new journey that he's stopping. This one, a little bit more manageable. This one is a 24-hour nonstop walk to support his 9-year-old brother's recovery from a life-threatening brain injury,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty scary, and it's pretty amazing that both Ranger's going to do this 24-hour nonstop walk, but that he has this idea to do it,
yeah.
right? So from noon December 29th to noon December 30th, Ranger will walk continuously in Half Moon Bay. So he'll be around here, which is also cool because when you walk across country, you only get to see him for a short time mm-hmm. and then he's on to the next place. He will walk continuously in Half Moon Bay and the coastside to raise funds for Jason J.J. Farrell medical expenses, rehabilitation, and long-term recovery needs following his second arteriovenous malformation rupture, which is a blood vessel issue in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had a couple of strokes, so I'm familiar with brain bleeds. And, okay, it's something maybe you can come to terms with for your elderly parent. But for a 9-year-old child, for their family and for the child, that it's just devastating. So 100% of the funds raised through the walk will go directly to JJ's recovery through the family's GoFundMe campaign. To learn more about Ranger and his walk across America, which he did in 2024, check out our two-part interview. We had him on the show twice.
Yeah.
We couldn't get it in one show. So last year, 2024, November 15th, December 6th, you can go to khmbradio.com, go to the show podcast, go to 2024 for Coastal Windage, and you can listen to both of those episodes and hear all about his walk across America. And you can go to coastsidebuzz.com for more information about Ranger's walk for JJ on the 29th, 30th, including how you can contribute and even participate.
Yep, and if you want to talk to him in person, just pop by the chamber office Wednesday through Sunday.
Ranger's a great guy, and you'll love talking to him. So,
yeah.
Okay. Beach Break Film Festival, this is our local film festival. This is also happening the week after Christmas, December 28th through 30th. It's always a 3-day festival. It's the fourth annual, founded by the Coastside's own Julie Mel, who brought drive-in movies to the Coastside, helped keep us entertained during COVID, and has put the Coastside on the film festival map right along Park City, Utah, and Cannes, Florida, France. Not Cannes, Florida. Cannes, Florida, maybe, but Cannes, France.
I feel like Florida would have a film festival, but wildly different films.
It's called, like, what was that? Girls Gone Wild. That's the Florida Film Festival. I was like, what was that thing? All right. for the Beach Break Film Festival. Let's bring it back to reality here. 16 powerful films featuring award-winning directors, bold changemakers, and stories that spark dialogue around democracy, community, resilience, and the human spirit. Like I said, this is our hometown film festival. I've gone every year. I love it. I would never miss it. The movies are great, and here's something I just really love. Mrs. Truthmaker and I will go. We'll have dinner at It's Italia, have a nice dinner, and then instead of having to worry about drive over the hill or battle a half an hour up to the city, and are we going to find parking, just a one-minute drive down to the Coastal Repertory Theater, plenty of parking, nice seats, an intimate venue, and we watch some great movies. It's amazing, and you should go do it. Individual movie tickets, day passes, and all festival passes are available. Check it out at Beach Break Film Festival. Okay, holidays on the coastside. I mean, we've got Rangers Walk. We've got Film Festival. The Night of Lights Parade last week was rockin'.
And thank you so much for being the awesome co-host of the parade announcing.
I had a great time. It was so fun. So Crystal and I were the MCs or the announcers for the parade. It was so fun. I'd never done that before. I didn't know how it would work, but we just kind of stood in the street with microphones and the floats went by. Here's the thing. Why you just love living on, people love living on the coastside. Every float that went by, like, oh, I've used that business for this, you know, for whatever. Or
you're like, I know
all those people. Hey, I know the person driving that car. I know these kids walking by. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I always feel like Buddy the Elf, like, but instead of Santa, I'm like, Brush Hog, I know them.
Totally. Totally. Okay, but it doesn't just end with a Night of Lights parade and block party that we
but
had
last
week.
But can we shout out the three winners of the floats?
Please do.
So, Coastside News, thank you very much. They do a prize giveaway to three of the floats. And so first place for the second year in a row since we brought it back, El Granada Elementary PTO.
Dolphin Nation.
Dolphin Nation won for the second year in a row. And then the number two went to the Our Lady of the Pillar Academy with their beautiful nativity-type angel scene. And then third was Kings Mountain, which was also
Kings Mountain Elementary School.
Elementary. So it was all about the schools. The schools really showed up and showed out. And I believe that might have been the first time Kings Mountain was even in the parade. And then Our Lady of the Pillar, they were in the parade last year, but if I remember correctly, it was mostly just walkers. So then to go from just walkers to, like, this massive float, that's an upping of game you do not see very often. So thank you to all of them because they definitely helped make it great.
I'm not sure that I've been to the Night of Lights Parade post-COVID, which I know seems like
a
long
time. Years ago.
I know, right? But it was kind of like homecoming that we mentioned at the homecoming assembly that we attended in October at the high school. The energy and excitement and the turnout was amazing. Wow. I mean, and the lights, and because it was dark and there was a little Christmas to the air, but it wasn't freezing, but it was, you know, it's a little nip. Wow, it just really felt like a holiday celebration, and everybody was in such a fantastic mood. I mean, that was another thing. It was just like everybody's just not the right spirit.
I think another fun part of the event, and I am not saying that us and Pumpkin Festival are apples to apples. Let's just put that out there. But I think one thing that makes Pumpkin Festival very fun is even though there's core organizers, a lot of different coastside organizations have to come together to make that work. And same with Knights of Light. So it's like IDS has their super fun party down and crafts and music and all of that good stuff, you know, down in the IDS hall. And then Seacrest puts up their big kids tent and they really knock that out of the park. And
they
Make
did.
It Maine does this whole market thing and all of the shops are getting involved. And so, it's just really, really fun because we all take on individual parts, and then when you put them all together, it feels like one big fun event, but it really took like 1,000 people doing 1,000 different things to make it work. And then like every year, everybody brings something even more fantastic. Like everything gets leveled up every year just because people are excited to level it up. So that's really, really, really fun.
Well, it's good to have some behind-the-scenes perspective on that, because as a person, self-admittedly, that just drops in for the for the fun, it was seamless.
Oh.
It was seamless, and it was really, really, really enjoyable. But the fun doesn't end, because tonight you've got your ugly sweater party and contest.
Yes, at the Cantina at San Benito.
Okay, right here on Main Street.
And, some people that we love, Kosei Country, will be there. They're going to do some dancing and zhuzh it up. And if you need a sweater, it's possible maybe that the bargain bus at Cameron still has some sweaters left. So go check them out. But, yeah, and we're headed down the road of trying to start working on breaking the world record. So
right. So that'll be in the next couple of years. You're building up to the world record.
Our max so far has been 100 people. So, if we can just add, a couple, 50 people or so a year, 100 people a year.
But I think you said the record is like
2,500.
So you're going to need to add more than 50 people a year. Otherwise, it's going
to
take 20 years.
I like to keep things in perspective. I'm not...
That's okay.
If somebody with, some real... We could really use a hype person. So if a hype person wants to help us market it, because that's where I kind of fall flat is.
You're terrible at marketing. Yeah.
It's more that I run out of time to do enough marketing.
Yeah.
So we could always use help in that department.
and ongoing is the Main Street Holiday Window Decorating Contest, which was a nice... I don't know if last year was the first year, but...
Yes. Well, the first year bringing it back. A lot of the stuff existed in previous iterations, and then some of it had dropped off before I took over the chamber, I think just out of bandwidth. And so we kind of used the pandemic to reset and bring this stuff back.
It's another great touch that really makes Main Street feel like a small town in the holiday season. And then next Friday, 6 p.m., we've got the movie Elf showing in the Spaghetti Feed, also on Main Street. Also next Friday and next Sunday is the inaugural El Granada Festive. This is an event going on next to the El Granada Post Office on 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday. There's a tree and menorah lighting, caroling, 10 to 5 on Sunday. So all day on Sunday, right next to the El Granada Post Office. Local artisans, craft fair, live entertainment, face painting, photos with Santa, speakers including Supervisor Ray Mueller and other community leaders. This is produced by Coastside Allies, Coastside Buzz, GCSD, Granada Community Services District, and Coastside Chamber of Commerce. So you're everywhere.
If you need to light a holiday tree, I'm apparently your girl.
I don't know about this. That didn't quite sound like the lights on a holiday tree.
There
you
go.
If you just want to torch one, then you call me.
December 30th.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's maybe actually do a segment here. Okay, stop. All right, already. Enough. Stop with the poison. Great blue herons feeding in Murata West. A hawk on a telephone wire nibbling a meal. Coyotes ranging through the open spaces at night. Owls, mountain lions, bobcats, neighborhood cats. Chrislyn, what do they all have in common?
They eat things in the wild.
They eat and really no beep, 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 ding ding on that? Wow. Okay, yes. Beep, 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 beep. Good answer. They eat and help control the rodent population. The animals I mentioned are all apex predators. And what happens when you damage the apex predator level of an ecosystem?
It goes wonky.
Mayhem, exactly. Two for two. You're killing this quiz here. You must have taken biology in high school or something. or seen the script.
No, I go to a lot of meetings where there's a lot of environmentalists.
Okay, good. I'm glad there's still some out there. You get a proliferation of creatures at the lower levels and a total ecosystem imbalance, which is why in the Truthmaker household, we don't kill spiders. Much to the chagrin of Mrs. Truthmaker and my son, no. We don't kill them. I don't even want to move them out of the house. What I say is, you take the spiders out of the house, then what? Why are the spiders here? Because there's other little no-see-ums that you're not seeing that the spiders are eating. Take the spiders out. Now you're going to have a bunch of other crawly things everywhere. No. Spiders are your friend. Embrace the spider.
Yeah,
okay?
This morning I saved a bee.
Thank you. Bees, another... And, people, if there's a raccoon dead on the side of the road or a deer, anything, I grieve the loss of every single wild animal out there because there's not enough left and we're about to dive right into that sinkhole. Okay, so we shouldn't kill the apex predators, but humans are, sorry, hate to say it, newsflash, humans are lazy, weak, and greedy, so they manufacture, promote, market, sell, and use harsh chemical poisons like herbicides, pesticides, and rodenticides that are damaging to carbon-based life forms, including humans. Specifically, I mean, here's a little, just a logic statement. If you're using a poison that is created to kill carbon-based life forms, of which everything on this planet is, and of which we are, then it's probably going to affect other carbon-based life forms than the specific one that you're aiming it at.
Yeah, and actually, I'm going to say it, but it's kind of sad. It's what my grandma passed of. So in the 70s, she worked at a company that manufactured pesticides because she was a botanist by trade. And, of course, in the 70s, we didn't know what we know now. So, but in her later years, she got really, really, really sick. And the illness that she had was not one that somebody with her lifestyle would typically get. And the doctor's best guess was that it was the effects of having been in a facility that was working with pesticides for so much of her career.
Yeah, I mean, these are harsh chemicals, and especially when they're made as poisons to kill carbon-based life forms, it's not going to be good for any other carbon-based life form, including humans. Specifically today, I am talking about the use of rodenticides. And as we were just discussing, since the exposure of the damaging downstream effects of the specific chemical DDT on the avian population in the 1970s. Specifically, it was shown that hawks and eagles were ingesting DDT through the fish they were eating, and then that was being passed into the eggs, and the eggshells were weakened by this chemical so that there was premature births or premature hatchings or whatever. The eggs would break too easily, and so the avian population just cratered. So it's well known that chemicals and poisons are transmitted through the ecosystem via the predator-prey chain. Animals that eat poison creatures like gophers, rats, mice, and other rodents ingest the poison in those creatures, and it starts to build up in them, and they become poisoned themselves. And if you're out there rolling your eyes that this is some global warming, you know, woke hand-wringing or anti-vax pseudoscience, no. This is established biological fact. Anticoagulant, which is the main type of rodenticide, anticoagulants are some of the most widespread poisons found in wildlife. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife did a 2023 pesticides, exposures, and mortalities in non-target wildlife report and found that 71.9% of wildlife tested were exposed to anticoagulant rodenticides. So, rodenticides, these are poison bait that people are buying at the hardware store. These are that grocery stores are putting in, you know, out in their storage area to keep the mice population down. Pete, you need to understand this isn't some like in a vacuum, like we'll put the poison out and then there's no more mice. The anticoagulant poisons cause a gruesome death. They kill the animal slowly by effectively cause it to bleed out internally. It's dissolving the internal organs of this creature.
Literally make horror movies about that type of stuff.
Right, right. And here we are doing it to, you know, quote-unquote acceptable creatures, rats and gophers or whatever. But people, what eats the rats and the gophers? Great blue heron, Brian, eats those gophers. The hawks that we love to see, and everybody who doesn't love a hawk. What are they? I just saw one the other day on my bike ride on a wire nibbling a mouse, tail hanging down. I hope that mouse didn't have any poison in it, right? I mean, come on, people, think about it. It can sometimes take days for an animal to die from these things. A torturous death. Your insides are melting. And the anticoagulants have a long half-life compared with other types of rat poisons, which means they stay in the rodents longer and accumulate in larger predators up the food chain. Okay. Listeners, I'm sorry. I didn't put this on anywhere else. And I don't think the interns put it on our social media posts. But go to khmbradio.com. Go to the Coastal Windage page. I challenge you. I put a picture of mountain lion P22, a famous mountain lion from down in the L.A. area, who suffered mange and disorientation from rodenticide poisoning before being hit by a car and killed because it was so messed up. There's a picture of this poor lion on the Coastal Windage webpage. Go look at it. I say to you, go make yourself look at it. Force yourself to look at this picture and then look at yourself in the mirror. Okay? Humans. All humans. As with P22, even when the poisons do not directly kill the predator, it sickens them, making them less likely to survive. The anticoagulants thin the blood, so if an animal sustains a wound in a fight, they have a hard time healing, and it disorients them. This mountain lion was disoriented and stumbled across the road and got hit. Okay, blood-thinning anticoagulant rodenticides were significantly restricted in California in a 2024 state law after 10 years of legislative wrangling. Why does it take 10 years? Because it's politics and there's money involved. The Poison-Free Wildlife Act of 2024, AB 2552, enacted a moratorium on all uses of anticoagulant rodenticides. Sounds good. To be rescinded only after the Department of Pesticide Regulation completed reevaluations of anticoagulant rodenticides and enacted specific regulations restricting their use. But that didn't happen, and a new report from the California Fish and Wildlife Service shows widespread poisonings of dozens of species, including mountain lions, hawks, owls, bears, and bobcats. Again, what do all those animals have in common? They're apex predators. They're at the top of the food chain eating these smaller creatures that people just are willy-nilly poisoning with the nastiest of poisons. And now, despite all the science, the California Department of Pesticide Regulation, DPR, is proposing some new regulations. They want to add first-generation anticoagulants. Don't ask me. There's second-generation, first-generation. I don't know if they're newer, they're more potent, whatever the deal is. But they want to add them to this category of restricted materials, pesticides. That sounds good. Except they're also proposing to exempt all anticoagulant rodenticides from the permit requirements if they're classified as restricted materials. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's not based on any science. I wonder what it's based on.
This is why I dislike lobbying, and I think lobbying should be outlawed, because this is some big company out there has had their lobbyists make all of these appeals and take people to lunch and all of these things, and then this is how that stuff happens. Is
take them to lunch. They're taking them to Cabo in the Bahamas or something. Okay, we got 2 minutes. The pesticides department proposal is going to allow the use of the most toxic rat poison, the anticoagulants, to be used at more than 100,000 new locations in California, including grocery stores, restaurants, highways, roads, and even parks and wildlife areas. Also allow use for up to 105 days, which is three different 35-day periods each year at a single site. That's a lot of poison. That's a lot of poisoned food for the predators. We're running out of time, but folks, it's not just rodenticides. Pesticides and herbicides. As you said, the honeybee population is cratering. Monday, I was walking in the small grove of eucalyptus in El Granada. You know, the six parcels that are being considered for rezoning to high-density housing because, you know, we got to have houses. And I saw a single pair of monarch butterflies flitting beautifully amongst the trees. Early records from conservation groups describe these specific trees in this grove as so heavily clustered with monarchs that they appeared orange. This was 40 years ago. The site has been verified, documented, overwintering location for monarchs since 1988. But now monarch butterflies are in serious decline, threatened by habitat loss and pesticide pollution. Their population has fallen from the millions in the 1980s when these trees were orange with monarchs, to fewer than 8,000 insects, 8,000 of these butterflies left along the entire California coast. Every single overwintering site is critical, but hey, it's a great spot for high-density housing. Why? Because it's there. And meanwhile, people are spraying herbicides and pesticides, killing the bees, killing the butterflies. You know what? Get down on your hands and knees, pull the weeds yourself. Pull the weeds yourself. Hire Corbett Robinson, the new gopher guy. He will come out and take these gophers away, no poison. Okay, we've got to go to a commercial break. After the commercial break, they're not here yet because it's a whole process, but they're not here yet. But after the break, we're going to have Johnny Valencia and Yasmin Negrete, the coaches for the Cunha Intermediate School cheer squad, cheer team. I don't know if it's squad or team. That's a question I need to ask. I don't know if there's a difference between them. And in fact, now the interns are telling me they forgot and they locked our studio door. So, okay, we'll get that taken care of during the commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This is community radio for the Coast Side.
100.9 KHMB.
Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
This is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me and Stan Warren Littrell coming up at 10 o'clock right after Coastal Windage. We'll have a look at today in history, plus we'll get to a brand new forgotten find. It all happens at 10 a.m. right here from 100.9 FM KHMB.
And we're back. Thank you for hanging out with us while we get this sorted out. I don't have Chris's notes in front of me, or Ruben's notes.
Okay, and I'm back. You know, it's live radio, stuff happens, and so stuff's happening.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
You ever thought that this was pre-recorded, or...
Nope. I mean, and so that's exactly why we did that this morning. Just so people know, we're real people, this isn't AI, this isn't pre-recorded, like real stuff happens. Okay. Real quick, I've kind of teased this. Is there really a housing shortage, or is there just a shortage of availability? I don't think there's an inventory shortage. And I also feel, okay, people can send their angry emails. Just like the fire danger here on the coast is heavily overblown, right here on the coast side, okay? I'm talking right here on the coast side, heavily overblown. The housing situation needs to be looked at from a different lens. There is not a lack of inventory. There is a lack of availability and affordability. And so, but the solution is just build more stuff.
Which, one of the things that I don't understand is, so like you mentioned before the break, they're looking at these groves to put high-density housing, essentially apartment buildings and duplexes and the like. But how come there's not an effort to try to, like, buy some plots that have older, more dilapidated housing on it already? So it's like, why isn't there an effort to take a spot that has six houses and then turn that into high-density housing? So to build up where buildings already are versus taking over new land. I mean, and I know that in, you know, it would be hard to get like six parcels who all have different owners to all sell at the same time or whatever, but I just feel like this kind of like taking of the land to do it when there's so many people who really want to preserve the land, and part of what makes the coastside so special is the fact that there's lots of open land that we, you know, get to enjoy and all that. So I just wish that high-density buildings could go where buildings already are.
It's a good point, and you know what? We will, I think we'll have to continue this discussion next week, because it's really a larger discussion, and I'd like to get into it with more depth in the meantime. Cooney Intermediate School, introducing head coach Johnny Valencia. And with him, assistant coach Yasmin Negrete. All right, good morning, Johnny and Yasmin. Thanks for coming in this morning. Okay, let's get right into it, because I've been really excited about having you two on, because I have to admit, even though I'm an old man, this whole cheerleading thing is kind of a new thing to me. I never really, it was always like, well, there's cheerleaders, and I'm looking past them like you're in the way of my game. But this year, my son played on the high school football team, and so I went to a lot of games, and you know what? The cheerleaders are amazing. What they do is amazing. Their discipline, their organization, the things they do, and their courage. They're getting up in front of people that are like me, going, get out, you're in my way, kid, you're bothering me. And they're engaging the crowd, and it's I'm sure it's really difficult as a kid to yell out, like, you know, come on, crowd, yell out, call back to us. So now Cunha has a cheer squad. Okay, Johnny, question for you. Is it cheer squad or cheer team?
It's actually a cheer club.
Cheer club? Yes. Oh, wow. I didn't see that one coming. Okay, and a third option.
Guess what? You're wrong.
I know,
wrong,
right?
Wrong.
Cheer club. I'm going to have to write that down, because I'm going to say cheer squad probably every single time. So cheer club. Okay, that's good to know. Cheer club. Okay. Let's know. How did this come about? Because did Cunha have a cheer club back in the day, or is this brand new?
For me, it's brand new. I don't know if there was a cheer club before or a cheer team.
So how did you make this happen? I mean, was this your idea?
It was actually two students that came up to one of our teachers and asked her if she can run a cheer club or a cheer team. And then that teacher sent an email out asking who was willing to run the club. And I answered, and I said, I'm willing to. Then I asked Coach Jasmine if she was willing to help out.
And were you guys in cheer when you were in high school or when you were younger?
I was in cheer when I was at CSM.
Okay.
Oh, that's so cool.
Jasmine?
I've never done cheer before, so this is my first time ever.
Wow. Okay. And did you guys grow up here on the coast side? Are you coast side kids? Did you go to Half Moon Bay High?
Yes.
Both of you went to Half Moon Bay High?
I grew up down in Pescadero.
Oh, that's great. So we've got Pescadero High and Half Moon Bay High represented. That's coast side, folks. That is beautiful coast side. Okay, so a student had an idea. They came to you. They said, Johnny, Jasmine, can you guys handle this group? So then what? So then how do you get the girls?
Then we set up a meeting during lunch, trying to see how many students will show up to the club. And we actually got more than 30 students that day to come to our meeting. And then I just looked at Jasmine. I'm like, this is a big group. This is actually a really big group.
So that must have been really exciting for
yes.
you, the turnout, to see this level of interest. Okay, so I've one of the things that has really impressed me about these cheer squads, and I haven't seen the Half Moon Bay cheer squad practice, but I've seen the Cooney. Johnny and Jasmine, you, this is like a practically a military operation. These kids are so disciplined. How do you keep their attention? I need the advice because I'm coaching a sports team and that's much fewer kids and it seems to be much harder to keep their attention. You've seen me in the gym with my small group. Meanwhile, you've got your kids are totally quiet and doing everything you say and I'm herding cats. How do you keep them focused?
It's been a journey with them. It's been really hard, but it's a lot of patience and just a lot of reinforcement and just, you know, continuing to talk to the girls regularly, explaining to them our expectations. And yeah, I mean, I feel like the thing that we always tell them is that this is the first year that we're having cheer at Cunha, and so everyone's really excited about it. So all eyes are on you guys. So we need you guys to give us your 100% all 24/7 because everyone's watching you guys all the time.
I mean, that's the amazing thing is they appear to have fully bought into it because... Okay, we didn't get to see the first week, which may have been a little ragged, right? And maybe people weren't paying attention. But was there a moment when suddenly, like, you were doing one of the moves or something, and it all came together, and the kids kind of went, "Oh my gosh, this is really fun," or "This is really cool." How did you get them to buy in so completely as they are right now?
I think. They really enjoyed doing the pumpkin festival parade, and that's when we're like, okay, they come along.
So you did the parade.
Yes.
Do you only does a cheer club only come out for sporting events that are inside the gym, or do you go to like flag football and wrestling, and or is it just volleyball and basketball?
So this year, like, we started off late. We were going to go to flag football, but we started the team late. So maybe by next fall, we will be at flag football.
And do you have a schedule? Does Mr. Lugo, the athletic director, give you a schedule that says, here's the games that are happening and you choose? Or does he say, you will be at these games? Or how do we know when you're going to be at games?
Usually we take a look at the schedule and try to see what days work for our girls and for us to be at games. Like last night we were at the games.
Right, the big four-pack of games at the Cub House, the Cunha Gym. Let me just paint the scene here. It's very cool, the Cunha, the Cub House, the Cunha Gym, right? Got teams in there and parents and other students and siblings. And then the Cheers Club has their own little section of the bleachers where they sit. And go to the Coastal Windage webpage on khmbradio.com. There's a picture of Johnny and Jasmine and the team, and they just, again, they're like the military precision. They sit evenly spaced apart. They've got their, I mean, we still call them pom-poms?
Yes.
Is that what you call them? Okay. I know the terminology, right? It's from the 1940s, but which is what I know. So they've got their pom-poms, and every once in a while you'll have them do a cheer.
Correct.
And other fun stuff like last night after one of the Cunha teams won, you had them all run down and they formed a tunnel and the team was able to run through.
Yes.
I mean, okay, so also the uniforms are amazing. Who picked out the uniforms? How did that happen?
So Coach Johnny reached out to Coach Emily up at the high school and asked her when they were having their fittings done and asked if we could possibly also get fitted through the same company. And the lady actually said that she would come down to Cunha and do a fitting for us at Cunha.
Are cheerleading uniforms expensive?
Very expensive.
So do you have a fundraiser that does... Do you get... Okay, are you sponsored by Cunha Athletic Boosters, Boys and Girls Club?
No.
Neither?
No.
So where does the funding come from?
So because this was our first year, they didn't want to make it an actual sport. They kind of just wanted to see, like, if we could make it happen. So basically it's like, if you guys can make it happen, and if it's a good turnout, then we'll consider turning it into a team. And so we had the meeting. We did let the girls know that it's a club. And there were a couple of girls that did need some financial assistance, but thankfully Cub Boosters and our PTO helped us out with them.
And so given the turnout and the acclaim, the reaction from hopefully other people in the community besides myself, is it going to be an actual funded sport next season?
We hope so.
We're working on it.
What can us in the community, what can we do to help make that happen? Do we contact the school? Do we donate to CUNY Athletic Boosters or Boys and Girls Club of the Coast Side? What should we do?
Maybe attending one of their meetings and bringing it up.
One of the CUNY Athletic Boosters meetings
or PTO.
PTO meetings for CUNY Intermediate School. Okay. And then make a comment that you think the cheer club is a great thing and it should be funded as a CUNY after school sport.
Yes.
Yeah. Getting back to the uniforms, by the way, they look amazing. One of the things that makes it so fun is that the uniforms just really are it's just part of the whole. You just look so organized and together, and the uniforms just look amazing. So good job on that. Do you guys get paid for extra money for this?
No.
No.
This is
all volunteer work.
Okay, community. Again, go to a PTO meeting, go to a CAB meeting, CUNY Athletic Boosters, because the after-school, the coaches that do the after-school sports do get a stipend. And so I see the amount of time. I'm there after school at CUNY every day. I see you there. I see the amount of work you're putting in. You deserve to get a stipend as any after-school sports coach does, because you've got an after-school activity sport. I don't call it a sport. Here's something. You both are very young, so maybe this is not something that... Back in the 70s and 80s, like, in the 70s, cheerleading was a big thing, but it was almost always just females on the side of a football game or basketball game. And then in the 80s, it became kind of a negative thing of like, well, girls are being excluded from sports and they just have to be on the sidelines dancing around. Now with Title IX and other things, girls' sports, female sports has definitely blossomed. Is there still kind of this negative view of like, well, cheerleading is not a real sport and it's, you know, it's just it's putting girls and women in a objectified view, or have we moved beyond that where people are recognizing this as an athletic activity that takes a lot of discipline and practice?
I think we have moved a little bit past that. I think that when we started the cheer team, there was a little bit of controversy, like, why does CUNY need a cheer team? But I always tell them that it was brought up to us by the students, and it builds character, and it teaches a lot of discipline. So I think it's really good for them to be part of a team like this.
Yeah, I mean, the discipline is so obvious. Okay, so... One of the things that makes a cheer club amazing is when everybody's in sync, right? And that takes a lot of work. I mean, again, military precision. This is what the military trains. They drill nonstop, marching and stuff. So are there some, let's say it's first day, are there some basic moves that, like, we're going to show you the clasp or whatever. Like, what are some of the basic moves that you would teach them in the first couple of weeks of cheer? Because we're going to have Frank do them here. You're going to show Frank, and then Frank's going to do them.
There are some basic moves. We actually had Coach Emily help us in the beginning a lot because we're pretty new to this. So just like learning clap outs. So basically before we go into a cheer, we always do a clap out, and that's just saying the words to the cheer and clapping side to side. And then after that, they go into the motions.
Hold on, the clap, because the Half Moon Bay cheer squad, I'm so glad that I'm not on that cheer squad, because they have some very complicated clap outs where it's like a, it's not just like a 1-2, you know, it's like a backbeat and like eighth notes and stuff. And I've tried to follow along at the game, and it's just embarrassing because I was like, I'm clapping in all the silent parts and they're doing all these complicated claps, and I'm just, okay. So are these basic, you know, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and type claps? Okay, so even maybe even I could handle that. Okay, so we got clap outs. Okay, around a cheer or just
yes.
clapping? Okay.
And then there's basic motions like a high V, low
what is,
V.
What is a high, can you?
So a high V would just be like this.
Okay, she's literally holding her arms up kind of at a 45 degree angle, making a V. Okay, that's a high V. Is there
low
a low V?
Would be the same.
A low yeah. V, but out?
Yeah.
Arms up. Wow. Okay. Would you go from high V to low V? Is that
mm-hmm.
a move? Okay. High V, low V. Okay.
And then touchdown.
Okay. So
it's
I
same thing.
The interns, I saw them looking on the computer last night, and they had a few of these moves, and it showed touchdown, but it's literally the signal for touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Touchdown.
So when you're practicing, do you call that out? Okay. 1 and 2 and high V, low V, touchdown, clap, clasp, pike jump, whatever. You're calling these things
yes.
out and they have to do that?
Yes.
Okay, but you were saying that you hadn't really done cheer, so where did you learn all of this?
I mostly taught all the movements because I was on the cheer team
uh-huh.
before.
Okay. You were on cheer at CSM.
Correct.
Did you cheer at Half Moon Bay High?
No.
Okay.
But there was... people from Half Moon Bay at CSM.
Okay, cool.
Over there.
Nice. Okay, so you learned it all at CSM.
Yes.
Was it hard to pick it up that late? Because I'm sure there was other kids on the team that had been doing it for years.
No. I feel like CSM cheer was easier than... Because I would look at the Half Moon Bay High School cheerleaders. And I feel like it was easier at CSM than at Half Moon Bay High School.
Wow, okay. Okay. Are there any boys on the Cunha cheer club? Are there any boys, and are boys invited?
Boys are invited. We did have two boys that were interested in the beginning. Unfortunately, for other reasons, they didn't end up joining the team, but they were interested.
All right. I mean, let's, for other reasons, were they getting teased?
I think maybe one of them was, but the other one, I think he was just too shy.
Okay.
We tried to get him a little bit out of his shell, and he did actually come to the first practices and watch the girls and did join in on some of the cheers, but he ultimately decided not to follow through with it.
Well, hopefully this cheer club is going forward in the future, and it would be very interesting and very cool to see some boys join the club. I mean, when we look at like a college cheerleading team, right, that's supporting
yes.
like Stanford or whatever, there's men and women there working together, and it just, you know, it seems totally natural. Yet when we look at high school or middle school, it seems like it's almost always girls, and I feel like there is some kind of stigma that prevents boys from doing it. But somehow, when you get to college, then
yeah.
CSM, you know, then maybe it's just that adolescent period where people are, you know, anxious about themselves and how they look and what are their places in society. But that I think is another thing that would really be amazing for the Cunha Cheer Club. There's a couple of sports at Cunha that are male and female, wrestling, okay? But this would be great as another sport where we've got boys and girls working together as a team, kind of, you know, on the same team at the same time. So that would be another thing. If you're going to go to the PTO meeting or the CAB meeting and advocate for this team, that would be another bullet point to add there. There would be a great opportunity for boys and girls to have another a chance to work together side by side.
And you get scholarships. You can get
scholarships. So, Crystalline is sign languaging me. that this also creates opportunities for these kids going forward. At the college level, there are scholarships for, you know, these are real athletes, and they can get real scholarships at colleges and universities across this country, giving them that hope that they can, you know, aspire to something beyond the high school level. Do you know anything about college cheer? Is it like college sports where it's just like that's all you're going to be doing, is you're going to be getting up at 6 in the morning, practicing all day, going to class, coming back, practicing? Is it like that at the college level?
No. Practices were in the afternoon.
Okay, I already loved, see, I knew I loved cheer. Afternoon practices. 6 a.m. practices? No. No. Some of the interns were like, you know, we should practice this show. We should do like morning, you know, run-throughs of the show. And I was like, nope. 9 a.m. is already plenty early. Okay. Johnny.
Yes.
In addition to your cheer duties, I've heard you called the king of the quinceañera. What's going on with that? Are you like a major entertainer, organizer of quinceañeras?
Yes. As my side job out of work, I do quinceañeras here on the coast side.
So tell us a little bit about that. So people that may not know, what is a quinceañera?
Quinceañera is when you turn 15, and then usually they do a big party for you. And then you have your, it's called, basically like a slow dance with a big court. Usually it's 5 boys. And then we rehearse for 2 months.
What? Whoa! Wow! 2 month rehearsal for this dance part,
yes,
of this. Oh my goodness!
We also include a surprise dance. That's included.
Father and daughter dance.
Yes, and a mother and daughter dance.
And do you rehearse all of these?
Usually, if they want a surprise dance with their father, then yes.
And so you are kind of the activity coordinator on there?
Correct.
Including like music and food and all that, or you're just focused on
focused on like the dance for that night of her event.
Okay. Well, you've got your experience, you are overseeing the dancing part of quinceañeras. When you're doing your practicing out of Cunha, do the kids ever go like, well, let's see you do it?
Correct.
All the time.
All the time.
And then did you get out and do it?
Oh, yes.
And are they then like, oh, wow, coach is really good?
Sometimes when I mess up, they're like, you're not doing it correct.
What? I can't believe a teenager saying that. I don't know about that one. Okay. A little bit about a couple of you. We've only got like a minute left.
Yes.
We could go on for another hour. This is a fascinating topic for me, and I just, like, again, so impressed with the team and with both of you as the coaches of this team. I just really want people to come to a Cunha game. Basketball season is going on through January, and then the sixth grade season will start. So it'll be basketball in the gym till like March. Look on the schedule. Go and check out a Cunha game, even if you don't have a child in the game, to see some basketball, but to see this cheer squad. Okay, kind of cycling back, we talked about you went to Pescadero High, you went to Half Moon Bay High. Okay, 1 minute left. So you grew up in Pescadero, okay, and Johnny, you grew up in Half Moon Bay?
Correct.
And so do you see a lot of people that you grew up with at games who now have kids? Do you have anybody that you grew up with who has a kid on the squad?
No.
Because you're too young, yes. Okay, that's what you wanted to say.
My family, I have family members, nieces on the
team. On the team? Yeah. Is that hard?
A little.
Yeah.
Because getting them in trouble.
Yeah, do they not listen? They
try.
They can get away with stuff because I know Coach, like, he's not going to yell at me.
But we're all the same at practice.
So I just said yelling. This is something I've not heard over there. Somehow you get this discipline, but I'm not hearing, like, a bunch of yelling or, like, you know, like, you're not doing it right. In a sentence, and we've got 30 seconds, what's your overall philosophy in terms of dealing with it? Are you a hard disciplinarian? Are you easy come, easy go? How do you present yourself to these kids?
I feel like easy go. I feel like...
Yeah, usually I will be the one to, like, have the meetings and talk to them about their behavior.
So we've got a good cop, bad
cop. Yeah.
Okay, that is a perfect... Again, it's a takes a team, takes teamwork. Okay, so Johnny Valencia, Yasmin Negrete, coaches of the Cunha Intermediate School Cheer Club, an amazing team. It's a team, and hopefully next year will be a funded team. You two will get stipends for coaching, and you'll have a budget for uniforms and other things. Hopefully, let's work on that. Maybe we'll check in, have you back on the show next year and find out how the club is progressing.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being in
Thank
here today.
You.
Really appreciate it. Crystalline, you've got more stuff to do tonight. You've got an ugly sweater party to oversee. We've got lots of stuff coming up on the Coast Side over the next couple weeks for the holidays. Enjoy yourselves. Have a great weekend. The weather is amazing. And we'll be back next Friday, as we always are. For Crystalline, for Yasmin. Yasmin or Jasmine? Okay, well, it's your name. Jasmine, for Johnny, for Noah, our engineer, for Frank, the engineer, for the interns, and for our spectators in the Elevated View Gallery. It's been Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.